Hello. So this is the season of gift giving, yes? Do you guys have a list of gifts you still have to buy? I do. Some of you guys are well prepared. I am not. I want us to right now, I want us to think about maybe what one of your favorite gifts you ever received was. I'm going to tell you about mine, and maybe you can be thinking about your gift in the middle of it. One of my favorite gift right now is a gift given to me by one of my best friends, Julie. And it is an Afghan blanket, and it has all these different types of colors in it. And I love it because my friend made it for me. I love it because it keeps me warm. And I love it for the third reason. Each one of those colors are representative of lives that have touched mine. And so when I see all the colors, it reminds me of the different people who have touched my life. So it's rather dear to me. So I want you guys to think in your mind, what is a favorite gift that you ever received? Can you think of one? Do you have one up there? Maybe not. Maybe you're thinking, I wish I would have received this gift. That might be your situation. Right now, I want to talk to you about a specific gift from God. God has many gifts for us. The first and most important is his son, Jesus Christ. He gives that gift to us. But it is not the last. It's not like he gives us his son and he's like, oh, I'm done. No more gifts. He has a list for us today. They're just not humdrum, stocking stuffer gifts. They're incredible gifts. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it gives us a list of gifts that God wants to give us. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Isn't it great to have those kind of gifts? God just has them sitting there waiting for us. Today, I'd like to focus on one of those gifts, faithfulness. When I hear the word faithfulness, I quite often think of God's faithfulness to me. That's the first thing. When I think of faithfulness, I don't necessarily think of something I possess. I think of God's faithfulness given to me. In Isaiah 25:1, it says, Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things. So perfect. Not only does God have faithfulness given to us, it is perfect faithfulness. Now, we're humans. We are not perfect. I'll acknowledge that. Maybe some of you are perfect. Come and tell me about it later, and maybe I can show you how you're not. God's perfect faithfulness to us. We see this perfect gift, and then we're like, oh, that gift, that's not a gift for us. So let's explore a little bit about what faithfulness is. Perfect faithfulness in the dictionary is defined as loyal, constant, and steadfast. The next definition is true to the facts. Faithfulness. Loyal, constant. Can we be that? In this scripture of faithfulness, when it says a gift of the Spirit is faithfulness, it has two motions or two directions it takes. This faithfulness that God wants to give us is directed two ways. It is directed, one, between us and God, and two, from us to fellow human beings. So it's not just limited to one section. It has two areas. When we look at what it means to be faithful to God, when we are faithful, when we possess this gift of faithfulness, we will also know that if we have this, our faith will grow. We'll be stronger in faith. As we possess faithfulness, our worries will start slipping away. We won't worry every day. Sometimes it's easy to grab that worry and worry all day. We become strong, confident, and bold. we will experience joy. We will become immovable. As we experience this gift of faithfulness, this is what we will experience through our relationship, this Godward motion of faithfulness. But the beauty of this faithfulness is it's not limited to just between God and me. Then there's this manward, or fellow human being, and myself. Guess what? The gifts are almost the same, but it's us towards humans. Other people will start to trust us. It will help their faith in us to grow when we are faithful. They no longer worry, what is she going to do? What is she going to act like? Do you have some people in your life that might not have the gift of faithfulness and you worry what they're going to, you never know what's going to come next? They will no longer worry about that. They will be strong and confident. They will approach you with confidence because they know that you are faithful. The others will start experiencing joy in your presence. Their trust in you will grow and your relationship will blossom. And so faithfulness first, God and us, we will experience this from God. And secondly, if we possess this gift, our fellow friends will feel this also. I want you just to take a minute and think about what it would mean in your life to possess this faithfulness. Do you have worry in your life? Do you wish you could be more strong, bold, and confident? Do you wish that you could have this gift just a little more? It is such a life-giving, beautiful gift. We're like, well, if God has this gift, why don't I have it right now? All of it, right? You want that gift right now. I was looking in Scripture, what stops us from getting this faithfulness? And one of the scriptures that immediately comes to my mind when I hear faithfulness as far as humans is the good and faithful servant. Well done, the good and faithful servant. It's in Matthew 25, and it starts earlier. It starts in verse 14, but I'm going to start in verse 19 right now. And it's talking about, if you remember, a master goes away and he gives his money to three of his servants. One servant he gives 5 talents to, one servant he gives 2 talents to, and the third servant he gives 1 talent to. And this is what happens when he returns. It's in Matthew 25:19. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. And he who received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. I have made 5 talents more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into joy with your master. And he also, who had 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more. The master said, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over a lot. Enter into joy with your master. Those are lovely stories. These people took the money their master had given and they doubled it. It doesn't say how they doubled it, but they went and probably worked, invested it. They did things with it. But here's the last servant. He was given 1 talent and he didn't do anything. We'll read about that. This last servant always sort of tripped me up. Not only did after all, he didn't go and splurge the money on himself. He didn't pocket his money. He buried the money. And I thought it was a little unfair because he was given 1 talent. I went and did some research, and 1 talent meant, in those days, the equivalent of 20 years of work. So think about working for 20 years, how much money that would be. That's not so little, is it, now that you think about it? Now let's read why this servant wasn't called good and faithful servant in verses 24 and 25. He who also received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. So he was afraid. That's what motivated him to hide the money. He didn't go out and work with it. He didn't go out and use it. He hid it. And why? Fear. It kept him from being faithful. He was not being controlled by faithfulness. He was being controlled by fear. This is something I can relate to, protecting what precious little you have and not being afraid to use it. Sometimes fear can control you that way. First, I want to say, if you are home and you in a situation where you do not feel safe emotionally, mentally, or physically, please talk to Pastor Joanna or one of the pastors here or myself. We'll try to get you out of that unsafe situation so that you don't have that kind of fear. But here's the other rest of the fear that I'd like to talk about. Sometimes it's easy for us to recognize fear in other people. My mom is petrified of spiders. I don't like them so much myself, but she hates them. And as a younger, okay, I was older than I want to confess. I was a late teenager, so teenagers don't pay attention to this, okay? I went, my best friend, who is now my sister-in-law, we went and we tricked my mom bad. We hid spiders all over the house. We hid behind the couch and we put on the movie Arachnophobia. For you guys who know who arachnophobia is, it's about a lot of spiders that grow big. She did not appreciate it at all. She was very upset with us. We could recognize the fear in her very well. Sometimes we can't recognize the fear in ourselves so much. It's easy to see in others, but to see it in ourselves, it is hard. Sometimes we can be frozen by fear because maybe we won't be in control of things that will stop us from obeying what God wants us to do. Maybe we're afraid people will see that we look stupid. Maybe we want to please other people. Maybe we're not good enough. Maybe we won't know what to do. Maybe we won't know what to say. All of these things can paralyze us from being faithful. I have asked someone who hopefully loves me very much to come forward, and we're going to do a visual about this. Joanna. So fear can bind us up. I like to give visuals so you'll remember them, okay? I can't believe you're so willing, but I love you, Joji. So when we have fear and we're afraid of what people are saying about us, we're afraid that maybe things aren't going right. When we're afraid, this is what our life is like. This is, we're bound. If we can't act because we're afraid of others, this is what happens. So like if we're bound by fear, here it is. But God has a good gift, Joji, just a minute. I'm sorry I'm calling her Joji. That's what I've called her since the beginning of time. Joji, I have actually, Phil, went and got you a special gift. It's a gift. It's just for you here. Please open it. No, it's not breakable. Just try. Do your best. So she's bound up. Something is stopping her from receiving this great gift, right? Okay, maybe a mediocre gift, but great gift. Blame it on Phil. Come on. Why can't you just open this, Joanna?
There's too much tape.
She can't do this. When God gives us this gift of faithfulness, he hands us this gift of faithfulness, and we are bound up with fear, we can't just open and receive this gift. But if we offer our gift of fear to God, God will take this fear away. He will help us. He will take it off. Is that better?
Yes.
Good. Here you go. You can go take it to your seat. When God calls us to this gift of faithfulness and he offers it to us, if we are afraid of what others can see and what others do, it will stop us. I have something to confess to you. I'm telling a different story this second sermon than the first, because I was reminded of it as I was sitting here. I often get bound by fear. I want to receive God's gift of faithfulness. And here I am, over 50, just now stepping out in faith, walking down the path he has called me to be a pastor. Many times I've been stopped because I've been afraid of what others would say. I've been afraid of being mocked because I'm that old lady who didn't do it the right time. And sometimes I stop and I let fear bind me. But I just say, here, God, here it is. Here, take my fear and give me faithfulness so I can step out and follow you. God holds the keys that can unlock these fears. Only God can totally unlock this fear of us, in us. And only when we're totally free can we receive this beautiful gift that God has given to us. We can freely receive faithfulness. So when at the end of time, God can say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. But I want you to go back, if you take time, Joanna has written out scriptures to read for your devotions. Read them this week. You might see some tie-ins. In Galatians, at the beginning of the scripture, when it starts talking about the gifts of the Spirit being given to you, in Galatians 13, it says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. You were called to be free. Freely accept this. Don't be bound by fear. I want you to take a few minutes and think about what is binding you today. What can you offer to God, that fear that is binding you, and move you forward so that you can freely accept this gift of faithfulness?